Death Spiral, the only anime podcast developed by DARPA in secret during the Strategic Defense Initiative as an anti-anime strategy, part of the Reagan Star Wars program. We've deviated from our original mission a little bit, but we are still dedicated to the national program of eliminating anime.
I, for one, dream of a day. A glorious day when we can wake up and our children can be safe from the threat of anime. It's really that drive that gave me the motivation to go through with the, you know, top secret DARPA robot legs initiative.
Yes, of course.
I'm not entirely sure as of yet what the game plan is on how having robot legs is supposed to let me fight the insidious influence of anime over, all of the world. But it does, like, have its perks in the meantime. You know, I've got storage space in these things. That knee problem that I was having, that's gone. Don't got knees anymore. Don't got those.
You can fully utilize that standing desk you got.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, it is almost exactly like the Deus Ex situation. I did not ask for this in the sense that these are a subscription service. You have to sign up for the monthly plan and they send you a little box. It's kind of like Blue Plate or whatever, one of those like meal plan services.
Oh, sure. Yeah. They base that Black Mirror episode on you.
Yeah, exactly. They mail you a little refrigerated box with like this stuff that you got to inject into your body so that your legs don't like rot off anymore.
But the problem is porch pirates keep taking it from you because it also has like a kind of an ecstasy effect if you take it as a random civilian.
Yeah.
Which is really unfortunate. I'm sorry to hear that. But, you know, DARPA is committed to making us pay them back after they diverted so much money from the particle beam weaponry program into the anti-anime program. And we didn't really have the kind of results that they were looking for. We did allow Japan to fully enrich their strategic reserves of anime. It turns out we could not stop that.
Wait, hold on. We just got word from U.S. intelligence officials that North Korea does have a supply of enriched anime. I repeat, the North Koreans do have enriched, highly volatile, raw anime.
We are closely monitoring the situation if we come to understand that they have also developed in tandem isekais. We will put our secret program into effect. But until then, we are in a holding pattern. We are in the command and control center monitoring the situation very closely.
Yes, yes. top men are on it.
In the meantime, there have been advances in anime technology, even in the last couple months. I know we talked about how the anime pipeline has been severely weakened in the last, 3 seasons? Four seasons?
It has been a bleak, like, year and a half in the world of anime. Like, I'm trying to think the last thing that I really was looking forward to was the Dandadan anime. We got that, you know, summer last year, right?
Sure.
And it's been kind of, like, not great since then, and before that, it was Dungeon Meshi, and it was not great immediately preceding or post Dungeon Meshi's release until Dandadan came out. I'm not saying that there wasn't some okay stuff, some stuff that we enjoyed, but man,
no, there's always shining spots.
Yeah,
in any
but
season,
those are two kind of like those are the two peaks that I am. Those are my touch points, you know, my touchstones for like defining the last three anime ages, the dynasties, the eras.
Yeah, I mean, Gundam, obviously, this season was the one I've been looking forward to for a very long time. I really like Gundam, despite my reservations about Hideaki Anno's let's say, participation in this particular iteration of Gundam. I was still very much looking forward to it. I happen to like Gundam quite a lot.
Hey, what if you made the pilots like little girls, like teenage girls in tight suits? What if you did that?
The big problem with the previous Gundams is there weren't enough 16-year-olds in love with their university teachers. I made Evangelion.
I cannot express how funny it is to me to do the George Lucas voice as Hideaki Anno. That's...
Hello, I'm Hideaki Anno. I don't really understand Christianity, but I thought the crosses looked cool, so put them right in there.
You know, I worked on some other stuff that wasn't robot anime. You know, I hang out with lots of people. You know, I'm kind of like a guy. I'm important. You know,
I was in sort of a mentorship with you know, the people over at Studio Ghibli. I worked with Miyazaki, obviously, and you know, he's a pretty big name. He taught me a lot about underage girls.
is Miyazaki to Anno what Spielberg is to Lucas?
No, because Spielberg considered George Lucas like a peer.
Okay.
And Miyazaki considers Anno a flunky.
More like Spielberg and John Ford.
Yeah, that's closer to it. That's closer to it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Where John Ford's like, I'm trying to make movies, and Spielberg's like, I love movies. I really like movies a lot.
Shut up, kid. This is a business. So get me a scotch.
And then, of course, Tarantino took that and just ran with it as his entire career.
Yeah. Hey, turns out liking movies can just be a personality.
It could just be your whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
He really pioneered the entire video game development culture, right?
Yeah.
The guy who worked at Blockbuster and became a movie guy. And now that we just have guys who worked at GameStop are now video game guys. It's great. It's really healthy. It's really healthy for the culture.
Yeah, no, I really like it when the development of the culture resembles a snake eating itself.
Yeah.
You know, just one big old Ouroboros.
Luckily, there's always more snake to eat.
Yeah.
It never runs out.
Oh, man. Okay, but back to anime and new and exciting developments. You know, I think that, as we were saying, it has been... somewhat of a grueling trek through a whole lot of slop recently, especially recently, it seems. It just keeps piling up. They keep making more of it. They keep animating it cheaper, and the writing keeps getting not great. But, you know, despite some really high points and some shining points, we were looking at the lineup for this coming summer season, summer 2025. It's beach time, baby.
Anime summer.
I may be speaking, you know, getting a little ahead of myself here. I think we might be eating good coming up soon, dude.
Oh, this is a hot anime summer. This is hot anime summer, baby.
This is hot anime summer. Hell yeah.
This is looking interesting.
You know, it's time to crack out the sunscreen, throw some wieners on the fire, shrimp on the Barbie. What do we got cooking up coming up, dude?
We've got so much. This is actually kind of scary how much we had. Not even that many season twos either. Obviously, there's a couple of seasons two that I don't even need to mention because I'm apparently the only one watching it, like Hanako-kun. You could give less of a shit about that. which is a shame because I really like it. Dandadan is coming back again, and the movie's going to come
absolutely.
Back.
Absolutely. I mean,
the movie's coming out soon.
Yeah, Chainsaw Man and Dandadan both are something that top of my list. Very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, we all know what the deal is there. We don't even need to talk about
We've talked about both extensively. Yeah. You know?
Well, we'll talk about Retze because that's an actual movie. The Dandadan movie is just going to be the first three episodes, sort of like the Gundam one that came out and I went and saw.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed. You should go do that. It's a fun experience. Sometimes
I really want to go
stuff.
See that Dandadan movie, too. Unfortunately, the nearest theater playing it to me is like 45 miles away. So it's a little bit of a drive.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
Where's your commitment?
You just got to make a day of it, you know? I'm not saying I won't do it. I very much would like to, you know? I just wish, you know, I just wish I was a little bit closer to the source. That's all.
Yeah, well, move to a real town.
Mm-hmm. Well.
We've got Call of the Night Season 2. I don't
hell
know
yeah.
if you kept up with that one, but
I did. Returning. I liked Call of the Night quite a bit up until I will say up until a certain point, it kind of lost me after a while. You know, sorry, this is not a spoiler-free podcast, but after, you know, the vampire. Yeah, fuck your feelings. Fuck them kids. After the vampire lady regains her memories and it becomes much more melodramatic, much more soap opera-y in terms of, like, the plot of the story, I think that is less interesting than more like exploring the concept of a, like, a city is a different place at night. You know, they use the term different world, but he often referred to
some kind of underworld.
Yeah, well, yeah, some kind of underworld filled with vampires and werewolves,
predators, predators.
No, he uses the term several times in the manga, at least, that it feels like he's getting isekai'd when he, like, goes out at night, and that's what is alluring to him about it. I like that.
It's always funny to me that, you know, the original translation before they ended up calling it Call of the Night was the Nightwalkers, which is so fucking funny. It's like, hey, man, you know, that was already a term. I don't know if the translators knew that was already a thing, but I'm glad they changed it, because there's some uncomfortable connotations there. I really liked it. I think it's funny. There is a thing where it's like, me when I've lost my memories. Hell yeah. Me when I've regained my memories. What the fuck?
Yeah. You know, so speaking of part twos that you don't give a shit about, obviously Sono Bisky Doll part two is coming out after like a year and a half. People are very excited about that one.
Gross. I don't remember how far.
Hey, it's a hot anime girl summer.
Did I make it to like season two content when I read the comic? Because that was after it was like full on in the twin sisters arc when I stopped reading, when I could no longer read.
No, that is, unfortunately, that was all covered in part one.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. No, next up is the Silent Hill group cosplay photo shoot arc.
Oh, they're going to do a sexy pyramid head?
Yeah, no, they do. They do.
Of course they do.
Sexy off-brand pyramid head.
That's awful.
Yeah.
I hate it.
That's the one where the main girl dresses up as a sexy murder nun.
Yikes.
Hey, it's Gyaru summer, baby. That's what we're doing now.
Oh, man. Obviously, there's more Dr. Stone this season. I don't really like the arc past the Stone Island stuff. I kind of dropped off there. Boichi. not Boichi the Rock. Boichi the... the artist, the original artist, he's doing his weird Western thing that I've talked
about. The non-rock Boichi.
Yeah. I've talked about his weird, like, pseudo-Western thing. That's still going. I really like that. Okay. But I think I'm putting Dr. Stone behind me. Like I said, when we talked about Dr. Stone originally, they leveled up too fast. They should have slowed down. He levels up way too fast in that show.
Yeah. You know, I can see how that would be frustrating to, you know, as, like, a pace issue, you know?
Yeah, they fucked it up. Like, it does not take that many chapters for them to reinvent air flight, you know? Like, they've got planes pretty fast.
Like, I understand that when people get unfrozen, they don't have their memories of the past, but it does not...
No, they do.
They do have their memories.
Yeah, there's no amnesia involved here. Oh. They literally, they wake up and, like, it's like no time has passed at all. They immediately snap back into it.
Well, then, that is just, like, unlocking... people who know how to do stuff, right? You know, it's... I get it. I get that it's supposed to be like a crafting game analogy or analog. I get it, all right? But, like, you know, space it out a little bit. Come on.
Yeah, I'm just saying, okay, look, one of the first big arcs is a race against time to invent gunpowder so a guy won't beat up another guy. That's, like, that's one of the first big things. But then from that to fully reinventing aviation is, like, one or two more arcs from there. It's like, okay, we could have slowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it in terms of season twos.
Yeah.
I think.
I'm still unsure if there's been any news moving forward on Dungeon Meshi Part 2. That is, like, one thing that I am very, very excited for whenever it happens. I was hoping it was going to happen this season, but looks like we missed the mark.
Hey, let them cook.
Let them cook.
Well, that gives us a good starting point here, because this is technically a season two in a weird way. But this season, the thing you have all been waiting for, the horny Powerpuff Girls new panty and stocking is coming out this season. What the fuck?
Okay, well, fair enough. You know, that actually answers my question of why we're not getting Dungeon Meshi this season, because they have been working on the panty and stocking reboot, Studio Trigger, obviously. But, you know, fuck it. They can do no wrong. Even with the weird stuff that they do sometimes, I am all for you. I am 100% your man, Trigger.
I can't shit on them. They're too good. I'm not going to, like, watch Darling in the Franxx or SSS Gridman. I don't like them that much. But, you know, new panty and stocking, yes, I am in.
Absolutely, yeah.
I do kind of remember them killing one of these characters off in the last season, but I guess that doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. Again, like, panty and stocking, for all intents and purposes, is, you know, playing on, like, fucking Looney Tunes rules, right? You know, it does not matter. These are, like, quintessentially cartoon characters. Blow them up, kill them, give them superpowers, have them bounce off the walls. Doesn't matter next episode. You know?
Yeah,
they're full Tom and Jerry.
Yeah. This is, like I said, this is the weird Western cover band version of Powerpuff Girls, but for some reason incredibly horny. I'm very excited. I was very confused when they said this is the one project internally that they all really wanted to do. I was like,
no, I believe that. I think one? That, absolutely that one. I think that it was a passion project for the director the first time, and he is just, they fucking did Dungeon Meshi so they could get the social clout to bring back panty and stocking. That is all Dungeon Meshi was. It was a mercenary job so that they could do this.
Yeah, very strange. I don't know. It's very, very strange. It's just, you know, they have a, let's say, storied catalog, and this is the one that came back. I mean, what would you have? Is this the one you would have chosen?
Well, no. If I had chosen, I would say give me something new and original, because I like it most of the time when you do that. I don't
okay,
think
but
that
new,
we
new and original, new and original off the table. Which one would you?
If I had to choose to bring back an existing one or have them adapt something that was a manga.
No, what if they bring back something they've done? That okay. Specifically that.
I would have them redo Darling in the Franxx, but do it good this time.
But isn't that still going? You can't. That doesn't count.
No, it's not still going.
Oh, they stopped already? I do not watch that one. I could not deal with that.
I think they only had the one season, the one full, like, 22-episode series of it.
Okay.
You may be thinking of BNA, which also only had one season.
I like BNA.
I don't think they have a whole lot of ongoing stuff, to be honest.
I like BNA. I was in BNA's corner. BNA was cool.
No.
I do want to say I would absolutely go back and be like, give us more Inferno Cop. I want Inferno Cop season two.
Oh, hell yeah.
Give
absolutely
us Inferno Cop. And I want it to be like that weird, like, motion comic thing they did the first time around, except like with four times the budget, this, and just see what that looks like. I would be very excited. I would also take more Space Patrol Luluco. I thought that was really good shit.
Mm-hmm.
Just some good old fashioned like Looney Tunes style anime. Just really good stuff like that. We don't have a lot of Looney Tunes anime.
No. I feel, well, I mean, we talked about the issues with, like, manga's like comedic sense last episode. I don't think that style of cartoon wackiness ever caught on in the same way over there. You know,
there's not that many of them.
Yeah. You know, they went full in on Action Boy. Like, that Astro Boy is like the foundational to what manga and anime is, right? That's your starting point. He was kind of wacky, sure, there were jokes, but he also was mostly beating up big robots and monsters. that's the starting point.
That's what I think of when I think of wacky. Oh, that wacky boy. Yeah, I have been reading one of the Astro Boy prequel manga that is really good, just as a side note. I mean, it's the same with all Tezuka stuff. Like, there's a really good Dororo reboot that's running right now. A couple, actually. But there's a really good Astro Boy one that I highly recommend. Not right now. Not that one. What I wanted to recommend, if you want to get a jump on new panting and socking, there is a 9-chapter manga called Eniale and Dewiela, which is an angel and a devil who are in sort of like a rival.
You've talked about this one before.
Yeah. A goofy rival friendship. And it is very panty and stocking coded. It's not quite as horny, but it is very funny and cute. And I really like it. And it does include one of them headshotting the other one. So it is definitely in the spirit of panty and stocking.
Kind of cartoon hyperviolence.
Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it knows when to play its cards, and it is very, very funny. I really like it. Everybody should read that shit because it's very good. Okay, pick one.
All right. Okay.
That was mine. What's yours?
All right. Let's keep going. I'm going to go with the one that I put on the list here. Then that is, I think, what you described as the MILF rom-com.
Oh, you're going for that one, huh?
Okay. Hitozuma no Kuchibiru wa kan chuhai no ajikashite. Which I do not know what the literal translation of that is, but it's basically, I fell in love with an older lady who's drunk all the time. This is, of course, the rom-com manga, based on the rom-com manga, about dating a, like, late 30s lady who is an alcoholic, like a barely functioning alcoholic. Or maybe an exceptionally functioning alcoholic, it seems.
Incredibly functioning. Extremely high-functioning alcoholic.
Yeah, it is about basically an Uber Eats driver. That's this guy's life. He goes around. He's a scooter delivery boy on a food app. And yep. He just happens to deliver takeout food all the time to this one cute older lady's apartment. And so they start spending time together, getting to know each other. And he notices that, oh, hey, you're literally drunk all the time. Like, okay, it's I don't know how familiar you are with the smash hit Canadian mockumentary television show, The Trailer Park Boys. But
I'm fairly familiar.
One of the main characters, as there's a running gag where every scene that he's in, he's always holding a rum and coke in his hand, no matter what. So, they're like, they get in a car crash and he's holding a rum and coke in his hand when they get out.
Yeah.
That's her bit in this. She is literally always has a can of Chuhai at the ready, at the go, in her mouth, drinking it down. She is like not doing great, it seems. In fact, it maybe seems like maybe this isn't the best topic to tastefully do a rom-com story about like a young, like, college age dude getting in an affair with an alcoholic, like, divorcee.
Well, what is the term you always, what is that term you really like that you always use? Christmas cake.
I did not come up with that, and I do not endorse it.
You didn't come up with that and use it all the time?
No.
Okay, sorry.
Hey, you're trying to make me out here look bad, but everyone knows that I am, in fact, woke and base-pilled for the feminism. I'm a hashtag ally. You would be finding none of that from me. But they say it all the time, and sometimes I talk about them saying it. That's all I'm saying.
And sometimes anyway, they make manga about it.
Yeah, sometimes they make manga and anime, and sometimes they make anime out of that manga, and that's what this is. It's about dating an alcoholic MILF. Goddamn.
Yeah, which is a meta commentary about the degradation of like modern capitalist society, because this when an unmarried mid-30s woman in the olden times would go out and become some kind of witch or shamanic practitioner.
Uh-huh.
But without that, stripped of our individuality and our access to nature, you have no choice but to just become a shut-in alcoholic.
Yeah. You know, used to happen to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention there's one added layer to this whole thing, and that is that, like, turns out she was his babysitter when he was a little baby.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yep.
That can't happen.
So we got that whole Freudian Oedipal layer kind of muddying the waters on everything.
Jesus Christ. And then he went on to become the premier of France.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Okay. By the way, that Astro Boy prequel is called Adam the Beginning. Just throwing that out there because I couldn't remember it before. All right. Jesus Christ. I'm reeling. Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me get my bearings again. Okay. Oh, here. Okay. Let's do my big one. This is good. I'm going to drop my big one pretty early here because this is by far my single most anticipated show of maybe a long time. Way more than Gundam, more than Delicious in Dungeon, more than Cyberpunk.
Wow.
More than any Trigger show. More than, geez, what was I excited about last time? It's bad that I can't remember.
Hey, all of these feelings are just like, you know, motes in a whirlpool going by. They have no tangible meaning.
What? Oh, man, that's sad. Now I feel bad. Oh, no. Anyway.
Think only forward. What are you looking forward to?
Think only forward. The big blockbuster of this season. There's quite a few shonen that are going to be participating here and fighting for the top spot. But if there is any justice left in the universe, the winner will be Gachiya Kuta.
Hell yeah.
Maybe definitely top 10 running manga for me. Like, truly, truly great. If you read manga and you are not up on Gachiya Kuta, I don't even know what to tell you. Like, what do you not like manga? Actually, are you lying to yourself? Do you not like pictures? Do you not like pretty pictures? Do you not like drawings that look cool?
Oh man, I saw that trailer. That trailer is looking pretty slick,
it's
dog.
Fucking
pretty
good.
Slick.
Like, everybody should be getting up on Kei Urana's Gachiya Kuta about the boy who falls into a garbage dump and has to live among the garbage people.
Just like me.
And, you know, the trials and tribulations of living in garbage.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if you don't live surrounded by garbage, you don't understand the complexities of that kind of life. But all the more reason to read Gachiya Kuta and learn.
You know, if Dorohedoro taught me anything, it's that living in garbage is actually cool, dog.
It is cool to a certain degree, but much like Dorohedoro, when he falls into the garbage realm, large parts of his life become much, much worse. Some much better, others much worse. For example, everything you eat is garbage.
I mean, yeah, but
yeah.
To be fair, most of what I eat now is also garbage.
It's also garbage. That's true.
It's also garbage.
That is true. That's true. All your clothes are garbage. You know, everybody you know kind of stinks a little bit.
Man, you are describing my life right now.
It's not huge changes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. This is, thank God they put out a trailer ahead of time. And you never know with trailers. I mean, it's maybe they're bullshitting a little bit. Maybe they just put like the best parts in the trailer, but it's looking good. This had the potential to be very bad because the art style is incredibly important to Gachiya Kuta. It's kind of the whole thing. Don't get me wrong, I like the story, I like the writing, I like the setting, I like that stuff, but it is truly the way it looks that defines it. And I think the anime looks like the manga.
I mean, that's obviously always important for a lot of people.
It's important to me.
Yeah, is this a MAPPA production?
How could it possibly? No, it's Bones.
It's Bones. Okay. Oh, all right. Well, you know, I like me some Bones.
I love Bones.
Obviously, I'm looking forward to Gachi Akuta as well after seeing that trailer. You've talked about it before on the podcast.
Love Gachi Akuta.
I unfortunately, I feel like I'm going to be taking the same route that I did with Dandadan on this one, where I've definitely read the first chapter because you told me to before, and I did not follow up with it. And then I'm going to watch the first couple episodes when the anime comes out, and I'm just going to go through and binge the manga. I kind of feel like that's the natural course here.
You should do that regardless of whether you watch the anime or not. I mean... Mm-hmm. Frankly, the anime is irrelevant to that part because you should be doing that anyway. But, you know, if watching the anime is what spurs it on, then fine. Go ahead. Great.
Okay. All right. That one's going to be top of my list. I'll real quick. I talked last episode or maybe the episode before that about Food Court Day, Mata Ashita, or... See you in the food court tomorrow.
Yes.
This is like the second or third time where I've discovered a manga that I thought was very interesting, that I liked reading, only to find out that it was getting adapted into an anime the very next season. So for the most part, this looks like pretty much a one-to-one translation going by the trailer of the manga, which is, like I mentioned, mostly just kind of a gag thing. You know, you have these two friends, they have funny conversations while they hang out at the mall, basically. Very, very early 2000s, late 90s coded kind of vibe going on. You know,
yeah.
I'm sure it happens a lot more in, say, a city like Tokyo, where they still have malls that people go to on a regular basis. it's more of a, you know, remnant of a bygone era in my head, but I am excited to see what they're doing. It looks like it's at the very least animated like with a fairly high budget for what the show is, so I'm looking forward to that one.
Well, in the similar vein, since I want to hold some of my other really big choices back to kind of give this list a bit more pacing, in a similar vein to that manga, I do want to talk about the adaptation of Keiichi Arai. Arai?
Arai.
Obviously, the writer of Nichijou.
Uh-huh.
Very famous Nichijou, the spawner of an incredible amount of memes that have been used and abused over the years. Their manga called City is being adapted this season, which is very
City,
cool.
City the animation, yeah, that caught my eye as well.
I'm very excited for this because Nichijou is obviously very good. It is good.
Yes,
it is good,
yeah.
Folks. And Nichijou, like we've talked a bunch of times, is one of those about a friend group of girls, and it's very funny, and it's an absurdist comedy. In City, it's very similar, except he's expanded the scope to be about, you know, an entire city. Sort of a Richard Scarry's Busy Town style comedy manga.
Yeah.
And it is great. I love Keiichi Arai's character designs. I love their sense of humor. I haven't read City the animation like I have read Nichijou, but I'm in. I'm 100% in. I think this is going to be very nice.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that one.
It's going to kick ass.
Yeah. No, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. In the same vein of stuff that I'm looking forward to, you know, it's not like top of the list, but something that I'm very interested in is Night of the Living Cat.
The one we talked about before. Yes, this is,
yeah,
Takashi Miike inexplicably directing this adaptation.
You know what? It's Night of the Living Dead, but with cats. You get bitten, you get turned into a cat. Cats take over the world. You know, what more needs to be said? I'm there for it. I want to watch it. I want to see some cats attacking people.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have any interest in watching this at all if it wasn't for the Takashi Miike link. I still not 100% on board even with that link, but I'm gonna watch it. I can't not. Man, I've followed Takashi Miike into a lot of weird places. A lot of times, very ill-advised places. But I don't know. I'll give it a shot. Let me go with a sleeper here, because this manga did not seem popular enough to get an adaptation, and yet here we are.
Mm-hmm.
I have been reading Clevetes, Demon King Clevetes for
cleavages
a long, long time. I really like it. It is somehow not an isekai, despite the name. It is a manga about a demon king beast in a land of kind of fantasy. The humans are constantly trying to eliminate it, so that it sends hero after hero after hero to kill it. But it is a demon king. It swats them away very easily.
Sure, as demon kings do.
Yeah. And the manga starts when the last round of heroes, humanity rounds up like five or six of these, the best heroes ever. And it's like, we're finally going to put an end to this. And sends them all. And obviously they all get immediately wiped out. They suck. Humans suck. They're not very strong. And this finally pretty much pisses off Clevetes to the point where they just fly out to the city capital and go like, well, I'm done with you guys. I'm just going to smash you up. And it smashes everybody up.
Okay.
Except for one little tiny baby. And Clevetes is like, you know what? I'm stealing this baby and it's going to be my baby now, because I kind of want to know why humanity keeps doing this shit. And I figure if I raise the baby, maybe I'll learn that.
Okay.
And so Clevetes takes the baby, fully fucking necromancerizes one of the heroes and enslaves her to be his, like, babysitter. And then they go on adventures together.
Okay, so undead babysitter.
Yeah, and the hero's fully conscious, so a lot of the humor comes from her going, like, I cannot believe I am serving this creature that killed everybody in my entire kingdom. This fucking sucks. But hey, I got to take care of this baby. Can't let the monster do it. So it's a good mix of that kind of thing that's very popular right now, where there is like an omnipotent character kind of like wandering through the world, sort of slightly bemusedly slapping away the gnats that buzz around them, getting lazily involved in the various dramas of human life. Except this time it's an unknowable, omnipotent beast who is trying to raise a baby, which is, you know.
Hey, that's comedy, baby.
That's comedy. It's three men and a baby, or three men and a little lady.
You know, three men and a baby is funny. One man and a baby is sometimes kind of sad, you know. Then you get maybe like a Kramer versus Kramer situation, which is still kind of funny, but.
Yeah.
You know.
No, but you end up with like a lone wolf and cub, and that kicks ass.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But I think giant unknowable horror and a baby. Now that's an angle. That's something that you can really sink your fangs into, if you know
what
I'm
cool,
saying.
It's cool, man. Yeah. It's cool. And you know what? Obviously it's, you know, there's fantasy bullshit. But and you know, I have a very low tolerance for fantasy bullshit. And the fantasy bullshit is very tolerable. It's very tolerable here. It's a very fun read. I haven't watched the trailer because I don't want to get disappointed before it even comes out. But I'm absolutely going to be watching it. I like this story quite a lot.
All right. Let's see. Oh, you know what? You know what? I didn't even read the description for this one, but I'm looking forward to Secrets of the Silent Witch, baby. It is a continuation of anime 2025, Year of the Witch now. We've graduated. It's no longer Season of the Witch. It's spanning multiple seasons. We're doing witches all the time, everywhere, forever now. And I am on board with it.
Back to back witches.
Back to back witches, baby. Maybe this witch doesn't talk. Maybe her thing is that she's like, maybe she can't talk, but her thing is that she's super powerful because she can cast spells without having to say like words, like in Harry Potter, right? Maybe that's her thing.
I don't know why that's the mark of like a cool spellcaster, is that they don't have to chant or whatever, but
you can just cast it with your mind.
That is a trope that pops up quite a lot. It's sort of like, well, why doesn't everybody just do that then?
What, and again, that is not what this anime is about, I'm sure. I did not look at what the description is. I saw witch in the title and I said, yes, yes, sir. That's it for me. I'm watching it. It's got witch in it. No more description needed. Moving on.
Yeah, no idea what that is going to be about. I guess this is a good time to just briefly mention that I am reading Wicked Spot, which is about a witch who decides to come out of hiding when she discovers social media.
Okay, great. Love it.
Yeah, it's good. Mm-hmm. I like it a lot. She becomes like a Twitch streamer briefly and becomes very internet famous.
Like that like that vampire anime from a couple seasons ago about the vampire that comes out of hibernation to discover social media.
Yes, yes. Though I don't know much about that one, but this one is much less actual social media focused and more like she doesn't know anything about society, so it's more of like a culture clash thing. I like it a lot. Witches, baby.
It's funny when old people don't know things.
She's not old. Don't call her old. She's not old.
Okay.
All right. I also will give Silent Witch a shot. Here we go. This is one we missed at the top, but Reborn as a Vending Machine is coming back for season two.
I mean, that is the most anticipated season two out of the whole list here.
I've got to drop it. I can't forget to drop that one. Man is a vending machine. That is a very rich metaphor. Very rich. We could come at that one from all angles. Let me tell you, there is a lot of readings of Reborn as a Vending Machine. And only about half of them are incredibly misogynistic.
All right. That's about half our list here. Do we want to save the rest for next time?
Let's see. I could pick, why don't we both give one more, like one okay. Serious one more.
All right, sure. All right, so, one more serious one. I don't know if you wanted to save this to go into a bit more in-depth, but another big one to look forward to is Hikaru ga Shindanatsu, or the summer that Hikaru died. I know that you've been a fan of that one for a long time. I still have not read it, but... I saw the trailer and it looks good.
Yes.
You know, very compelling.
Yeah. We've talked about this one a bunch cause I won't shut up about it, but, this is one of my favorite running manga. It's incredibly good. I've mentioned, over and over again that the combination of, Yuri or BL and horror is like the most potent combination in manga right now.
Yeah.
It is like my favorite genre is when they've got a horror romance going. And I don't know why most of them tend to be BL or Yuri and not like straight stuff. There's probably a lot to unpack there,
mm-hmm.
But I'm reading a bunch of these, you know, this is my favorite one, but I'm also reading Aizawa-san, which I mentioned before, the girl who is in love with the ghost haunting her classroom. I'm also reading I Want to Hold Aono-kun So Badly I Could Die, which is getting extremely intense. That one starts off as like kind of intense and then just ramps up like crazy. But I really, really like that one. These are really great. I like all three of these. I like when scary stuff happens to people in love, I guess. I don't know. It's weird, but it's really good.
Huh, interesting that you have that hang up.
I wouldn't call it a hang up.
No, of course not.
No, you know, trauma bonding is incredibly important to any strong relationship. It's very important that you be like scared at some point, maybe of each other. I don't know. It's something to think about. But this is going to be great. Like, hands down, this is unmissable. I think this is going to be... if it wasn't for all the gay stuff, this would probably be incredibly big. I think even despite all the gay stuff, it's going to be big.
Despite all of it?
Yes.
Come on, Remy, we are in the year of our Lord 2025. Are we not living in an enlightened culture yet?
You know what?
Are we still held down by these shackles?
Let me take a quick look around and see if everything is good now. Oh, shit. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
What is it? I haven't looked out the window in a while.
Don't look. Don't look. Don't look. Look, just read the manga. If you haven't been reading the manga, get up on this shit because you're going to like it.
All right.
Okay. Let's see here. There is another one that I've been reading this is a good one because it's not another big one for me, but it is something that I've been reading for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And is real mids, so is probably going to be extremely popular. Are you familiar with Togen Anki?
I am not familiar with Togen Anki.
Okay. Togen Anki is a very traditional shonen. Very traditional. You don't get more traditional than this, which is strange because we are living in the age of the subversive shonen.
Oh,
you know, we've talked a lot, but like...
Something's coming back to me. Is this the one about the guy, he can make stuff out of his blood?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yes.
Yes, this is the demons versus Momotaros shonen.
Yes.
Which is very funny. We've talked a lot about how post-Chainsaw Man shonen has been forced to really evolve and try to change a lot of the fundamentals. We can't really just put out Dragon Balls anymore. Things have to have some kind of spin on them.
I mean, you say you can't put out Dragon Ball anymore until one day you can again, and people call it an amazing throwback to the classics. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm just saying, culture is cyclical. There will be another Dragon Ball.
Well, of course, we always wrap around, but at that point, that will be subversive.
Yes.
That will be the subversion. I mean, can you think of one right now, though? Because I can't. All the shonen I know that is popular is subversion. It has some kind of spin or subversion or is attempting to do something interesting or counter to recent trends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can't really think of a very straight shonen outside of, I don't know, maybe like very kid stuff, but as kidsy as manga is, I try not to read the very young, very young stuff. And I know you don't read a lot of shonen anyway.
You're not that far gone.
I'm not that far gone. I mean, I do, unfortunately, I do read a lot of shonen. I do read quite a lot of shonen.
Yeah, no, I think it's weird. I haven't said anything out of politeness, but I think it's weird.
I'm reading good ones, though. I'm reading good ones. You know, I talked about Phantom Busters, which is a really good one. I really enjoy that one, which the subversion is that it's about boys that are like friends with each other.
Uh-huh. Oh. I mean, I think that we should all be on the lookout for more stuff like that, you know. Again, manga that is just about friends doing stuff together is heavily female skewed in terms of like the characters in these stories. Yeah.
Characters that are just genuinely friends with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like kind of fun, heartfelt stories about how they care about each other and have like fun in each other's company. Yeah. It's weird that there's not that many.
I don't know. Then again, I just read the short story, you know, of The Body, Stand By Me.
Sure.
And maybe there's a reason that we don't focus on guys hanging out unfiltered with each other all of the time. Those kids suck.
Those kids do suck, but that's mostly because Stephen King sucks. they all did come out of him. I'm reading, let's see, what are the more traditional ones I'm reading? You know, I'm reading Ghost Fixers, which is a fairly modern shonen that it incorporates, again, one of my less favorite modern shonen tropes, which is kids being deputized by the federal government. I wish this wasn't a thing.
Kid being made a cop.
Yeah, kids being cops, kids being men in blacked. I don't like that, but that's kind of where we are with modern shonen.
How long? Maybe it already exists, but there's got to be a shonen out there that is literally, that is just the plot. A kid gets deputized as a real cop, and he's taking down criminals.
You know, there's such a...
Here, kid, you're... It would be like this. Kid, you're the only one on the police force that's allowed to carry a gun openly. And you can carry all of the guns and ammo that you want, and we all have to be non-gun cops.
Yeah, you're the best shooter in Japan, so you got to be the guy who shoots everybody. Haven't come across that one yet. I think because of the weird stickler nature of the age limit thing that inexplicably appears in every anime and manga, They kind of haven't done that one yet. You know, kids self-censor themselves in manga for some reason. So they probably aren't going to get around to kids being actual real cops. But if they're fantasy cops, then sure, why not? Who cares? Like in Ghost Fixers, these kids fight ghosts, sort of. But that's only because kids are the only ones who can do it. That's the only
kinda
reason.
Kind of like in It.
Yeah, exactly. They're the only ones who can like really have the brain elasticity to fight ghosts.
Sure, sure.
Galaxias is a very traditional shonen.
You've brought up Galaxias before when we did a breakdown of your manga list.
Yeah, the Shonen Jump stuff that I think is really interesting to keep an eye on, because Galaxias is really cool. That's the one about people with dragon tails.
Sure.
Which is very funny. The nice part about that one, and which is a little bit subversive, is that unlike Ghost Fixers, that one is very, very anti-government. The dude is straight up assassinates the president of the world. Pretty cool. I like
dope.
That.
Dope. That's I like dope. That.
That's very cool. Kagurabachi is very traditional. He's also a kid cop, which sucks.
Mm-hmm.
No friendship in that one. Maybe that's the subversive element.
No, he's a lone wolf sigma male alpha bro.
Yeah. Ultimate Exorcist Kyoshi is ending soon. That one's a fairly traditional shonen, except the subversion was that at the beginning it was supposed to be a joke. He's a one punch man.
Sure, yeah.
But he's afraid of demons, so he's a bad exorcist, even though he's the most powerful. Unfortunately, as the series went on, they forgot that it was supposed to be a joke. That sucks. What a bummer.
I mean, I kind of got that feeling from One Punch Man as well. After you get past 100 chapters of this, the gag wears a little thin, and now it's literally just good. The last time I checked in on One Punch Man, it just reminded me too much of Hero Aka, you know? They essentially merged into the same timeline.
There is an interesting evolution of One Punch Man, especially as it compares to the original web manga. I don't know if you've ever read that one.
Yeah, I have read the web manga.
Yeah, yeah, which is still ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
There's some interesting things where they diverge. I wonder how much editorial meddling is happening there. Hero Organization is a pretty traditional one, except again the subversion there is that the kid is infiltrating the federal government in order to take it down. That's cool. Like that. So Togenonki, compared to all these, is very, very straightforward. This is about a character who discovers that he is special.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah, he's a
maybe
young
he's
man.
Some kind of special kid that has special powers that makes him unique from all of the normie kids in his class.
Yes. He's a kid who discovers that he's a little different, and that's why he doesn't fit in. Maybe there's something special about him. And it turns out there is. In fact, he has magic blood.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he's biracial.
He's fire. No, unfortunately not. He is raised. I can't even say it. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. Let's say his dad has some very big differences from himself. He is not biracial though. Yeah. Let's leave it at that. He discovers that he's special. He goes to a school for special kids and is enlisted into a special kid army where he has to fight the enemies of his new special sort of subspecies of human. There are, in this case, the Oni, who are fighting an endless war with the descendants of Momotaro himself.
Dope. Love me some Momotaro. Peach Boy.
Yeah, Peach Boy. Now, this manifests, of course, as Momotaro being essentially, yet again, an arm of the federal government.
Oh, well, I don't like that.
But they are the bad guys.
I don't like Kopitaro.
Yeah, Kopitaro is the bad guy in this series. And our Oni, our demon boys with the demon blood, are kind of positioned as rebels, kind of fighting for their their place in society, even though that they're considered pests that must be eliminated, which is a kind of fun. It's about as subversive as it gets because everything else is as straight shonen as possible. You know, he makes a quirky group of friends. They fight against their enemies. There's power-ups. There's parts where it's like, wow, couldn't we just like get along with our enemies? But no, we're on the wrong side. All that shit. Depending on how well the blood stuff is animated, this is probably going to be like not Demon Slayer level, but under there.
Well, I wonder what time slot it's going to be coming out on, because I mentioned last time that Japan has a lot of weird censorship rules around showing blood on, like, you know, prime television slots where kids might see it.
Yeah.
So this is definitely probably if they're showing it fully uncensored, this is probably going to be a late night slot.
This says so. Friday TV's Friday anime night block.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I guess that's,
I wonder if there's some level of abstraction with how they get the blood out to manipulate it that is going to give them cover for all this thing. Cause I have trouble imagining them showing like a dude just slit open his wrists, on the prime Friday night slot.
Well, in that game I've been playing, 100 Line, the kids stab themselves in the chest, getting the blood out, and the quote-unquote bad guys slit their own throats to get the blood out. I don't think Togenonki goes that far, but I do believe there is a little bit of self-mutilation to get the blood out. I know there's at least one character who, in order to get more power out of their blood, has, like, slice their own body up into pieces and sewn it back together again. So there is a certain amount,
okay,
of disgusting bloodshed. I have read a lot of this manga. It's pretty boring, I gotta admit. There's really not anything interesting that happens. It plays,
wow, what an endorsement,
to all the, yeah, I know, it plays to all the worst impulses that shonen has, including some like weird sexual hang-up stuff involving women with uncomfortably large breasts. Really not
who
good.
Used to be his babysitter.
You know, I don't want to say anything more. But I see this one as, unfortunately, since all the good ones that I predict never seem to take off as much as I want, I predict this one is probably going to be one of the more popular ones this season. Just because it's like, it's just edgy and dumb enough to be like a very popular anime. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Oh, sure. No, I see so many empty calories in this for people to you know, nom, nom, nom up. I have no doubt that it's going to find a healthy and thriving fan base as an anime.
I think so. I mean, I know the manga is very popular.
It's got the winning formula. You know, we got edgy shonen powers boy. We got ladies, sexy anime girls. It's got the boom anime babes that make people think the wrong thing. And it's got power of friendship. I don't know. Does it? Probably.
Yeah. There's some like classmate, you know, bonding with your classmates kind of thing.
Yeah. He's at a school. Easy. This is going to print money.
There's some school stuff. It's not all out of school, but there is some school stuff. In fact, I would say the closest analog to this in tone is probably Blue Exorcist.
Okay.
I would say this is on Blue Exorcist level, which may spell doom, but they keep trying Blue Exorcist over and over again, so I don't know. People must like it.
Geez, somebody likes it. Hey, there's something for everybody out there, right?
Well, yeah, as much as I hate to say it, I keep finding shit I like.
You know, we've still got a little bit more on this list that I think we're going to save for next time. And, you know, truth be told, there is some stuff left over on this list that I think I'm going to like too. But you'll have to find out next time on
wow.
Anime Death Spiral. What see, I'm a doing cliffhanger. The I'm doing the Dragon Ball Z thing, you know, with the announcer. He comes in at the end of every episode and he says, next time on Dragon Ball Z. See, I thought it would be funny if I did that for the show.
I don't know that. I don't watch stuff in English. Not familiar with...
Okay, don't purity test me here.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with the narrator's game. I apologize.
All right, people. Beautiful, handsome, tall listeners, thank you again for sticking with us while we talk about Japanese cartoons from from behind our smudgy little computer screens.
Yes.
Go check out the Blue Sky. We're putting stuff up on there. Check out the TikTok, Instagram. Do the stuff.
Yep.
You're welcome. Yep.
Go and check out we're gonna do our fantasy draft soon.
Yep.
So check our fantasy anime draft next time.
Mm-hmm,
We'll go over that. Come make sure to cheer us on as we sweep the fucking fantasy league.
it's all in part to listeners like you. Okay, bye.
My throat in the recording sounds very gross. Gotta listen to those when I'm editing the podcast. It's not pleasant.